for a Bible study, would you turn to Exodus chapter 12? Exodus chapter 12. Spend just a few moments here in the scriptures, and then, of course, we will have the prayer missionary reading of the missionary letter and so forth. But anyway, Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to just go ahead and jump right on in and looking at verse number 21. The thought this evening that I want us to give some consideration to is the thought the Lord passed through. The Lord passed through. Now, Exodus 12, verse number 21, it says, "And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this, of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you." Now you will notice in verse number 23, it says, "For the Lord will pass through." Now I want also to keep reading verse number 24. It says, "And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come into the land, which the Lord will give you according to, as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say it's a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head in worship." Let's bow for just a moment in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for another midweek prayer service and a Bible study time. And Lord, thank you for the good old song we just heard. And we thank you for all that are here tonight that are in this service. And then those that are associated with this service this evening at home, and watching the service through Facebook or YouTube. Now, Lord, this evening, would you help us to understand a little bit better the significance of this precious passage of Scripture, and, Lord, what this passage of Scripture speaks of. Bless us now tonight, all of the sick ones that are out this evening because of sickness, and then so many other issues in people's lives. We ask that you would touch and give healing and comfort and encouragement. And bless us now this evening, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you will notice as we look at this wonderful portion of God's Word, you will notice that it talks about the Lord passing through. We see that in verse number 23. The person that is being referenced is none other than Jehovah, or the Lord himself. And I want to just point out a few things tonight that are so significant in terms of typological meaning, or speaking of types. This is one of the classical Old Testament portions of Scripture, in my opinion. It's just a wonderful Old Testament passage that is just packed full of New Testament truths in terms of the redemption of Jesus Christ. Now, I would make a few comments this evening when it comes to the matter of how the Passover night was to be prepared for, and even the matter of the lamb that was to be slain, and the sacrificial animal, and the way that the blood was to be applied. And there is so much wealth in this passage of Scripture that we certainly do not want it to pass over our heads or not to grasp the great truths that are here. I want to point out a few things tonight concerning the blood. Of course, we're talking here about the Passover lamb and the Passover night and so forth. But you will notice, as we've read, that the blood was to be, basically, it was to be poured into a basin, and that in itself is significant. Poured into a basin, and then the hyssop was used in the application of the blood to the lintels and to the doorpost. But there's something to be said about the fact that the blood of the sacrificial animal was to be poured into a basin, and then hyssop was used to dip into the basin and apply the blood. That reminds us tonight of the fact of the precious blood of Christ. It reminds us of the fact that the blood of Christ is not wasted, not to be wasted. It's indeed precious. So the care, even of the sacrificial animal, there was a strategic, significant way that the blood was to be applied, again, reminding us, I believe, of the precious quality, characteristic, and type of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something else, too, in this passage. The blood was basically to be applied to three particular areas. The left side post, the right side post, and then the lintel, or the upper part of the door facing. You will notice that the blood was not to be applied to the threshold. And I think that there is another significant point that is noteworthy, reminding us tonight, when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is not to be tread upon. Not to be tread upon. It was not allowed, they were not allowed to apply it to the bottom part of that door structure, to the threshold. Then, I want you to note something else about this. And this is a good teaching lesson that I think would give to us the idea of the significance of Scripture and Scripture truth being remembered and even given to the youth, given to the children. You will notice in verse 26, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" Talking about the Passover in the days or years to come after the event. This memorial was to be a teaching matter. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when you can grow up in a culture where children are included in Bible study. It's a wonderful thing when children are made to be interested in the truth. It talks about teaching the children. And it talks about the children asking questions. I think, sad to say, we're losing that aspect of the Scriptures in terms of training and teaching young people. So, again, we should not overlook that. It's a wonderful thing when Christian families raise their children under the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the Word of God, to where children have an interest in the Bible, in the Scriptures, and ask questions relative to, what does this mean? You know, it's a blessed thing when young people say, what does this mean? What is the Bible teaching? So I think tonight that the Scriptures and the truth of Scripture is not just an adult matter. It's to apply to all ages. To all ages. Then, let's talk just a little bit about the Passover. Now, the Passover, which incidentally, and you know this, is an annual celebration or memorial conducted to this day in Israel. It's the Passover is probably the most significant religious holiday in terms of the Jewish calendar. Now, the Passover, primarily, it was to commemorate or to remember the liberation out of Egyptian slavery, as far as the significance is concerned. And it was continued as an annual event conducted on this, to this very day, in Israel's, history, in Israel's culture. The Passover offers a vital message, which is important far greater than the holiday aspect. And you see, this is something that I think is worth touching on. The Passover, the message of Passover, is more important than the holiday aspect of it. It's just like all cultures. It's like our culture here. It's just like the fact that there are many people that put more emphasis upon Christmas as a holiday or Easter as a holiday more so than the significance of those 2 days. When it comes to the Passover, the significance of the Passover is far more important than the Jewish holiday itself. And unfortunately, as far as Israel is concerned, it's viewed as their primary, probably most important Jewish holiday. But, and we'll look at a few scriptures in just a moment. But it's sad to say that most Jewish eyes only see it in terms of it, remembrance of coming out of Egyptian bondage and so forth, but the vital message is missed. It namely has to do with Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. They see the holiday, but they don't see the Messiah. And that's the tragedy. Now his presence was made known by the, and again, we're seeing Jesus Christ in Exodus 12. We're seeing him here. His presence was made known the first time, was not made known the first time in Bethlehem, and we just come through Christmas, and you all know that. His presence was not made known the first time in Bethlehem, for he existed throughout eternity. And we know that he will be worshipped and served forever. He is the Lamb of God. And what a Lamb of God he is. He's the Lamb of God. And John says in Revelation 13, verse number 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, how important that is to know. In the mind of God, even before the fall of man occurred, God saw down through the aeons of time, and he saw the need because of sin. God being omniscient, knowing that sin would have an entrance into this world. Entrance. I believe in the mind of God, his son was slain before the foundation of this world. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of this world in the mind of God. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Nothing is incidental. Nothing happens by accident. It was planned in eternity past that this Lamb would be slain. The Passover. What a precious event, so full of scriptural truth. Egypt's firstborn. And by the way, this was a clinching, the clinching judgment that would shake old Pharaoh up. And he'd be saying to the Israelites, get out of here and get out of here in a hurry. Because we know this, Egypt's firstborn would die. There would be a cry heard throughout the land as the Lord would pass through. And judgment would occur in the houses of those families and the firstborn. Before the morning rolled around, the firstborn would be dead. This was all it took to convince Pharaoh he was messing with the wrong people. Now notice, I want you to see something here in this passage. Look please at verse 26 or 23. It says the Lord will pass through. Note that, underscore that, pass through. Then I want you to notice the same verse. It says, the Lord will pass over. Notice, pass through, and then pass over. I would point out tonight, the Lord would pass through, that's judgment. The Lord would pass over, that's mercy. He would pass through in judgment. The firstborn of the Egyptian families would die, and the only exemption would be, in the case, we're talking primarily now about Israel, the blood would be applied. The Passover lamb would be slain, and he would see the blood, and then he would pass over. That's mercy. That's mercy. And I would note tonight this. The eyesight of the Lord was upon one thing in particular, and that was the blood. One thing in particular. The Passover speaks of something far more important than a religious holiday. It speaks of redemptive truth. And that's what a Bible, any good Bible student ought to understand. It speaks of redemptive truth. Now, consider right now the state of Judaism collectively. Consider right now the state of Israel as far as spiritually. And by the way, there's no person that loves Israel more than I do. I love the people of Israel. I love the Jewish people. And I abhor anti-Semitism to its core, as you do. But there's a truth we need to know tonight. And we'll let Paul explain that truth. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then, I like how Paul puts it in verse 4 of Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Jewish people at large, they're seeing the holiday. They're honoring the religious holiday, which is so important, but they're missing the meaning. They're missing the meaning. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul elaborates on the subject. He says, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. Israel tonight, its mind is blinded. And I say that not disrespectfully. It is a biblical truth. Their minds were blinded. And catch this, which veil is done away in Christ. They have failed to see in the Passover the bleeding Lamb of God, which typified Christ. They're not seeing the essential truth. Like so many people today, they're hooked on a religion, but they're not seeing the essential truth. And the truth is what sets free. Rather than eyes being on a holiday, eyes need to be on Christ. And that's true of every holiday of any spiritual significance. You'll notice this. The Lord would pass through the land, and then the Lord would pass over. He would be looking for the blood of the Lamb. A little teaching. Let me do just a little bit here. I want you to notice in verse number 3 for a few moments here. I look at verse 3 of chapter 12. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Every man a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb or house. But every man, a lamb. I point out tonight by way of spiritual application, every man, every human being needs the lamb. Every person needs the lamb. Now, okay, in case there's any question, of course I know there's not here in this service anyway, but the blood of the Passover lamb has a higher meaning, and we all know that. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He is the eternal lamb. Let me dwell for just a few moments on the fact that he is the eternal lamb. Much could be said about this one who is the eternal lamb. I would suggest, first of all, that he's the typified lamb. That'd be my first point. He's a typified lamb. Typified as early as Genesis chapter 4 even, when Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. All the way back to Genesis 4. He's a typified lamb. Time and time again throughout Old Testament. Typified. Types. Types are given. Not only is he the typified lamb, but he's a prophesied lamb. Abraham's offering. Genesis 22. You know that account. He's a prophesied lamb. Where is a lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. He is the prophesied lamb. Exodus chapter 12. He is the specified lamb. Specified. Say that because in Exodus chapter 12, details are given. As to the qualifications that had to be met when it came to this sacrificial animal, the lamb, had to be spotless. Read the chapter. When we think of the quality of the lamb that was required to be offered on the Passover night, without any mistake at all, we have to be reminded of the perfection, the excellency of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That lamb would remind us of that. We see him as a specified lamb. In other words, Israel had a responsibility when it came to the sacrificial lamb. It had to be specified. There had to be requirements. Again, in keeping forth or showing forth the fact of the excellency of Jesus Christ. We also see he's the personified lamb. Personified. Isaiah 53. The prophet leaves no doubt that the lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53. We find in John's gospel one verse in particular that he is the identified lamb. You know what John 1:29 says. You know it was John that saw the Savior approaching him, and John puts a spotlight up on the approaching Savior and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There is no other Lamb of God. He's the one. And then John would go on to say, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John as much as said, "Let me get out of the way. Let me get in the shadows. Because this one that I see coming is none other than the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm nothing, but he's everything." And then John's disciples peeled off from him, and they followed the Lamb of God. So he's the identified lamb. And then I say glory, hallelujah. He also is the glorified lamb. He's identified, but he's going to be the glorified lamb. John said, Revelation 5:8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 and 20 elders, and I think that speaks to the church, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That's Revelation 5:8. He is the glorified Lamb. So as we come back this evening and we talk a little bit about the Passover, in closing remarks, just a few remaining comments to end up my Bible study. This event, I will say this, would constitute a new beginning for Israel. A new beginning for Israel. Again, with your Bibles open, look at verse 2, please. "This month shall be unto you the beginning." Note that. The beginning of months. Beginning. "It shall be the first month of the year to you." In other words, this would change Israel's calendar. The Passover would mark the beginning of Israel's religious year. March or April, which, of course, that would be based on the moon's phases. But that's the time that the Passover is honored in Israel today. The slaying of the Passover lamb was a part of the Passover. And another thing that I would point out to all of you tonight that is, that as I think that is so significant, I would remind us all tonight that when Jesus died, when he died, he died at the time that the Paschal Lamb was slain in the temple. He died at the same specific time that the Passover or the Paschal Lamb was slain in the temple. I declare to you tonight that there's nothing in Scripture out of order. I believe that it's all about Jesus Christ. I believe that every jot, every tittle is in line. In every aspect of Christ's finished work falls in perfect sync with Bible prophecy, right down to the actual time that it occurred. You know, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible mentions this, and I think this is very, very interesting. It says, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. A great company of the priests. Fortunately, there were some of the priests in Israel at the time when Paul had his ministry, who they put two and two together. They must have been thinking in their mind when they took Old Testament prophecy and they compared that to New Testament happenings. Some of them put two and two together, and I think they basically concluded, yes, we did indeed. Our hands are bloody. We are responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. He is indeed Israel's Messiah. And some of them did believe. They did believe. So here's a point, and I'll move on. The event was a beginning of Israel's calendar, so to speak. Number two, I would note this. The blood was seen. Seen. That's an important point. Seen. Verse 23 again, the Lord, note this, for the Lord will pass through thee to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood, that's good, when he seeth the blood, leading me to say tonight that nothing gets by the eye of God. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He isn't looking, by the way, for our religious status, but rather our spiritual standing. What gets God's attention more than anything else is a blood being applied. He looks at our hearts tonight. He knows where we stand. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. That applies right now. We tonight, and I assume that all of you, we give testimony to what I'm saying here. We tonight are also under the blood. The lintel of our heart's door has been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. And he sees the blood. He's not looking for religious status at all, but rather spiritual standing. We're not saved by faith in faith. The ground of our salvation is the blood applied. People go around talking about their faith. Their faith. We better be talking about our Redeemer. Our Redeemer. We don't get saved by trusting our faith, but trusting the one who shed his blood for us. The blood applied. The eyes of God view the work of Christ applied. I'll repeat that. The eyes of God view the work of Christ applied. That's all that impresses God. All of the multitudes of religions in this world have no saving significance at all. There's tons of religions, but there is one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of the Lamb of God, who is the antitype of what we're preaching on tonight in Exodus chapter 12. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sins could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's where it's at. They couldn't, and here's what I really like. When Israel, on that Passover night, When they went inside the house, by the way, the blood's above them. The blood's on both sides of them. At least, I see, at the very minimal, a good application tonight in terms of our security. God's people, in a sense, the blood's above us, and the blood of Christ on both sides of us. But here's something else that I don't want us to miss. When Israel went into their houses that night, remember where the blood was applied. It was applied to the outside of their doors. They couldn't see it. It was on the exterior. But the Bible says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. We from time to time may get a little bit confused in our thinking. We may get somewhat wobbly, let's say it can happen, in our sense of security. For whatever reason, sometimes Christians become impaired, their understanding becomes impaired, and maybe they put too much credence upon the sins of the flesh at the expense of saying, how could I be saved as a sorry wretch that I am? But I want to say to all of us tonight, if the blood of Jesus Christ has ever been applied to us in redemption, God's going to always see the blood, whether we see it or not. We can get to a feeble state of mind. Our security tonight, it's not based upon our seeing the blood, but when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Our security tonight is based upon what God sees, not what we feel, not what we think. I see that as a tremendous point. They couldn't see it, but He could. Their security was in Him seeing it. And then I want to mention finally this evening the benefit of the blood. The benefit. The benefit. Verse 4. Notice this. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In other words, there could be a situation where there could be a Jewish household where there were too few within the family to consume the entire lamb. That's the point here of the text. There may just be a family of three, let's say. So what is he saying? Well, now, Jewish tradition suggests that 10 individuals, that at least 10, would constitute the general number for the consumption of the whole lamb. But basically what we're reading here, though, if the house is too little, let him and his neighbor. In other words, include other members of Jewish households under your same roof. You get the point. But here's something that I really like. The point is, the lamb might be, the family might be too little, let's say, for the lamb, which would mean they could bring in other people to enjoy the security under the blood. But the lamb was never too large. Too little, we might be too little for the lamb, let's say. I'm making some application here, but never too large. I want to say there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross. God's basically making provisions for Israel. Having His saving ability and benefits are so great, and here's a good point, they need to be shared. Israel's household, let's say again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time repeating, but let's say there's only a small household, we'll bring in other members of other households. But there's a point, there's an application. The truth of the gospel message is so great, it needs to be shared. by application. It needs to be shared. And then I'll quickly add this. All of Israel were to be associated with the killing of the lamb. All. Verse number 6. Just read that on your own. All of them. And then I would remind you something else. Verse 46 quickly, and I'll be done here shortly. Verse 46. It says, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. John 19:33. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. See the perfect fulfillment? The lamb was to be without blemish. Verse 5. Notice that again. Verse 5. Without blemish. Let's see here. Get back here and read it. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It was to be a male. And it was to be a strong lamb. Well, Jesus was without blemish. He was in the prime of life when he died. 33 and a half years of age, prime of life. And so I'm simply closing tonight by saying this. If you can't see God's bleeding lamb in Exodus chapter 12, you got something wrong with your spiritual vision. Because he's there. Perfect fulfillment in Calvary. Let's pray. Thank you tonight, Lord, for this precious passage of Scripture. And for how we can clearly see the Lamb of God, the perfect, peerless, precious, spotless Lamb. Accuracy of prophecy, so amazing. Bless, Lord, if there's someone that's watching this service tonight that's never trusted the Lamb of God, I pray that they will do exactly what another verse in John 1 says, where John had already said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then John went on to say, "But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God," even in the same chapter. So, Lord, if there's someone watching this evening that has never received this Lamb, may they do so tonight by calling upon him and trusting him as their Savior. Bless now in the remaining part of the service with the prayer request for the missionary. In Jesus' name, amen.